hear me okay? I'm going to talk tonight about filtered sunlight. You hear about the three ages, the age of starlight, the age of moonlight, and the age of sunlight. In particular, you can talk about the sunlight age. And I want to read a few verses to start off this evening. First, John 1, verses 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. So we have the true light from God, the age of sunlight coming. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, we read about what Simeon said when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in for his dedication, I think it was. Luke chapter 2, verses 24. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. So the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to the people Israel. In Matthew 4, 15 through 16, when Jesus started his ministry, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. The beginning of the announcement of a new age coming. Ephesians 1, about three more verses. Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 10. Just as many verses about the great light that has come to us compared to the previous age of the moonlight, which was the age of Moses and the law. In the starlight age, which was just patriarchs and a few messages from God back then, compared to what was coming in the New Testament, it was small in comparison to the great light that is coming now. And these verses are pointing out that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. For the culmination and the final revelation is of Christ. Final purpose and fulfillment is in Christ, as says here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired about this salvation. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them when they predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, and the things which now have been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So even angels are longing for this message to come. And in Matthew 13, 16 through 18, will be the last one for this moment of time here. Jesus is giving some parables to the people, and his apostles were asking him why he was speaking to them in parables, but he's talking to the apostles right here. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So people searching for the whole message in the Old Testament, time of Moses, time of moonlight, could not find all of this. They did not know it. It wasn't revealed to them. They were limited in what they could find. But now, in this age, the sunlight, it's all been revealed. The prophets were prophesizing for our sake, and it finally came true in Christ, that the whole picture was given to us of Christ and his salvation, the true sunlight, the true light that was coming into the world to enlighten every man, was here. So does this mean that everybody sees that? What these verses point out is it's been established, it's done, the sunlight is available for anyone. Whereas they could not find it before, these verses show, now anyone who seeks it can find it. But anybody can be willfully ignorant of it. It can be filtered or blocked out. So my message tonight has to do with filtering the sunlight. First of all, I want to put in a good word for filters. We have many physical filters, we're talking about optical filters, of many good uses. And this will help explain more of what I mean by filters. In the way of astronomy, telescopes, we have filters basically to improve an image. One use of filters is to filter out light pollution, especially near cities, towns. You can't see as much up in the sky because of city lights reflecting off of there. There's really a vast difference when you get out like to camp or somewhere and see the dark sky, the many more stars and things you can see up there. But even in the darkest sky, there's still some light up there that the atmosphere stores from the day before. Some of it leaks out at night. So there's still some pollution there. So some of these filters help get rid of that, so you can have a bigger, better picture of what you're looking at. And then there have colored filters, chromatic filters, that actually accentuate certain colors while you're viewing and make certain features appear better. Like a green filter will improve an object, the view of the object that is red. And a specific example, like a red filter will help in the viewing of the surface of Mars to find dark objects on Mars. So there's many examples. And one definite place where you need a filter is looking at the sun. They have special solar filters. If you don't use one of those, you'd permanently damage your eye, and it doesn't take very long. So especially when using a telescope looking at the sun, you got to have a very strong filter to dim that light. We have what's called polarizing filters. If you look at the end of a light beam, if you could, the light goes both this direction, up and down, or back and forth, and goes this direction. There's two types of components in there, horizontal and vertical. A polarizing filter takes out one of those components, so you only see about half of the light, so it dims it that way. And what they're good for is that reflected light, when it reflects off the surface, like say a car window, the car in front of you or something, the up and down light gets absorbed. It's the horizontal light going this way that gets reflected. So if you've got a horizontal polarizing filter, it'll take that, a good portion of that reflected light out, and just leave the rest of the light that you can see from the surrounding area. So they're good for filtering out reflected light, reduce the glare. Of course, they have the whole area of camera filters, and I'm not good at cameras. I don't usually take pictures, but there's people that do around here probably know more about camera lens filters than me. But they're used to improve pictures and enhancing pictures and create desired effects. So they're very useful. Most people are familiar with filters. So they have good purposes. And spiritually, you could see there's good purposes of filters too. You want to focus on a certain part of God's word and really study it out and get the context right and get the meaning right of a certain verse. But I'm going to primarily talk about filtering out the Bible when you shouldn't, used for a bad purpose. You filter it out and because you don't want it. And I'm going to talk about various spiritual filters that people use, their churches use. And I imagine different churches, well, their teachers and leaders, well, they have these... When people come in, they hand out these spiritual glasses with special filters on them and filter out part of God's word in their teaching. So it's like having these filter glasses where you don't get to see all of God's word in that church. You don't get it taught all of the matter, all of God's will, all of God's revealed sunlight that he's preserved for us in his word. And one verse I want to read, this amounts to taking away from God's word, and we're warned about that. Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book to this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. So that's the last chapter of the Bible here. We have that warning. Not to take away from God's word, not to add to it either. Okay, so I just want to mention briefly some filters that people use, or churches use, or faith organizations. I don't know if you can call them a church, some of them, but some say it doesn't matter what you believe. And that's like putting on the filter when you have the steps of salvation. Well, put on the filter that just takes faith out of there, faith in Christ. It doesn't matter what you believe, all paths lead to God. You'll all eventually get there. Just believe sincerely, with zeal, with all your heart, whatever. Believe what you will. It's how much you believe what matters, not what you believe. Of course, that's wrong. And I just want to read one verse. We don't want this filter in our glasses. You can add glasses of context, whatever, just whatever. Spiritual glasses. We would apply to. Okay, John 8:24. I told you that you would die in your sins. So you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. Sounds like faith in what you believe in is important. dying in your sin does not sound like a good option. So it does matter what you believe. Of course, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me," in John 14:6 also. Another type of filter you can have, Church of Jews, is you don't need to repent. Just come as you are. You don't need to change. You know, people want to get a lot of people, church want to get a lot of people in. So make it easy for them. So say, "Oh, you don't have to change. Or change very little." And maybe they might use a scripture like where Jesus says, when he's talking to the Jewish leaders, "Even prostitutes are going ahead of you." I really don't think, what I'm thinking Jesus is saying there is, they will realize that they're sinners, repent, and come in the kingdom. That's how you get in the kingdom, before you. I'm talking to the Jews who didn't feel like they needed to repent, but they were okay. So, anyone who comes in the kingdom can heaven has to repent first. One verse on repentance, there are many, of course. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. "There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" So sounds like you need to repent or perish. Definitely there. So we don't want that filter on saying you don't need that. We don't need people telling, leaders or teachers telling you that you're okay the way you are. And God knows different. And we need to be told the truth and repent. This is a matter of baptism. We have the whole faith-only belief that says faith is good enough. We just put on those filters that whenever we look at baptism, not really don't see it. It's filtered out. You might baptize, but not for the reason given in the Bible. And I'll just read one verse for that. 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "In like manner, baptism saves you, not as removal of earthen body, but appeal to God for clean conscience." Another cult, called Jehovah's Witnesses, you're all familiar with, they say there's no hell. So they got these glasses on, that every place that talks about hell, it just sort of blends in with the white background of the page. They don't see that. They say there's no hell, there's no judgment day. Of course, if there's a righteous God, there has to be a day of reckoning. You believe in God that's a righteous God, and they're sinners. There's got to be a day of reckoning for them. And this is points this out fairly clearly in Romans 3, just verses 5 through 6. "But if our wickedness serves to show the justice of God, what shall we say? That God is unjust to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world?" So a righteous, just God has to have the day of judgment and the day of wrath. Jesus saves us from that if we're in him. But he still needs to have that day of judgment if he's the righteous judge and there is a righteous God. So, definitely in many other places it talks about the judgment. And, you know, I'd rather be warned. Well, let's say, when I was younger, when I first, you know, went to Sunday school or started reading Bible and stuff. It really bothered me. Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else, and I didn't see why he needed to do that. He didn't like that idea. He was so nice. Why did he have to talk about that? But, you know, later on, I appreciate that, you know. I want to be warned that there's something bad out there. Warned, and so you can do something about it. A lot better that way than believing otherwise, and at the end, having no hope. No hope to get away from it. So I'd rather be warned, and that's true, you know. Lots of illustrations. You'd rather be warned of dangers coming up rather than going on ahead and then suffering for it in the end because somebody didn't tell you. Or you just willfully ignored it. So people need a warning, and also we need to depend on God's victory. You know, we can't be just to say, oh, you're okay. You know, you're not. We need to give it all to God, and when we come to those things that where we feel like we're going to fail, we have to entrust in God. He'll bring us through. But if you know, you do away with these things you need to be warned about, then you lose your need for trusting in God. We have to learn to trust in God through difficulties and stuff about things we're warned about, too. Another one that goes along with this, different type of filter, or basically the same, would be once saved, always saved. Teaching is going around. And there's a scripture that refers to that. I forgot to look one up, but there again, if you're always saved, then you don't need to be careful. There's no striving to please God, and there's no need for God's strength. You just go on the way you are. If you don't have a victory in this thing, you're okay. You don't rely on God's strength then, it would seem to me. Okay, so these are different types of filters. I sort of compare them to the colored filters we were talking about in physics. But now, what about the Polaroid filter that blocks reflected light? Well, some people refuse to see God's light reflected from others. That's how God, how we see God around us in a lot of ways, is how He has affected people's lives and how they're reflecting Christ. But some people put on these Polaroid filters and they refuse to see the reflected light of Christ in your life. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we just have it indicated that we are reflecting Christ's light. I'd like to read that. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed in His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. But we are reflections of God to others as we're living for Christ. But people do, might say, well, you have some other motive, you know, might question our motives, or you just do good, you're trying to please. Or something. Or I might take advantage. Oh, you want to be good? Okay, then I'll have take advantage of you this way or that way, get money from you or whatever. So there's then, you know, refusing to see that Christ is really in your life. A verse relating to them, people will be like that. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you presume upon the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? You know, people get treated kindly from Christians and in other ways benefit from God, but from Christians too, and it's supposed to lead people to repentance, but they fail to see that because of their Polaroid filter. And Okay, I want to read one more section. Matthew 11, verses 16 through 19. But this happened in Jesus' time, too, an example of it. People just refuse to see God's working in others. The testimony of God in other people's lives. Matthew 11, verses 16 through 19. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We piped to you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, behold, they say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors, sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by your deeds. So no matter what God sent to these people, probably mainly the Jewish leaders you're talking about, they wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't accept a self-denying type of man like John was. But when Jesus came and he ate and drank, he didn't fast and wasn't out in the wilderness like John, well, they didn't accept that either. They said, well, you're a drunkard and a glutton. So nothing could reach him. Some people just put on their Polaroid blinders. They have other motives, and they won't refuse to see God working in other people. There's a type of filter. I think you could call it a filter, but in astronomy, you want to look at, say, some planet or something that's near the sun or moon or something that's near the sun. You can put in a special circular spot, black spot, blocking out the sun. So I'm going to call that a sort of a blockout filter. And this refers to the Jews, among others. They accept all the moonlight and stuff, but Jesus, they block that out. They can still see only the moonlight. With 2 Corinthians 3, through 16. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Okay. So just like a veil, like a total exclusion, total blinding, they don't see the sun. Islam is similar, is that they say that Jesus is not the Son of God. And that's interesting, I think they have a moon in there. And one of the symbols for Islam, and I can say, well, see, they're still on the moonlight. They haven't accepted the sun. And the solar filter, well, it's church or this doesn't want to have the whole truth. They want to dim it. It means they have to change. They don't want to make people have to change or repent. The truth is difficult at times, especially when it gets personal. The Christianity is supposed to be different. It's the one that does claim that people are sinners and need to change. And change requires effort, and it isn't easy. So we want to have a church that presents the whole truth and not have it dimmed in any way. The one I'm inserting here, it's not really a filter. But it's one I kid I carry sometimes. He's a good photographer, it's excellent even. He said, after he's taken a bunch of pictures, well, you forgot to take the lens cap off. I'm just kidding, she did. She had it off, but she's not here right now. But That would be someone, a filter that really was a total exclusion of all light. And there are people like that. No desire to find anything about God, God's light. And 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So they refuse to listen. They don't see any need to seek God. Of course, like in Psalm 41, it says, fool says in his heart there is no God. So, I mean, it'll be foolish in the end for them. In Proverbs, I want to read Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. Including 18 too, because it's a good promise for the righteous. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Well, eventually they will stumble if they refuse any light from God. We need God's revelation. We need God's light to have victory in our life, to know where we're going, and to have God's favor and salvation. So in conclusion here, it's important to attend a church that doesn't hand out these filtered glasses by the leaders or the teachers, but filter out part of God's word so you don't get it all. And people want that this day. It says in the last day that will happen, 2 Timothy 1 place, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So we don't want a church like that, that would teach that, would accommodate that type of desire. You want to be a church that uses no filter. And I appreciate Glen Acres. We don't use filters here. Teach it as it is. Even if the truth hurts, you've got to preach it. And that's what's done here. And I appreciate that. And personally, we need to remove any filters from our own eyes. Matthew 6, 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We want to keep our eyes on Christ. We want to have His light in us. We don't want to put any filter up where we're not getting what we need to have light in our lives. And with that, I'll close. Thank you for your attention.